Hey guys, today's episode with Mark Rick, the former college football coach and newly minted author, is presented by Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant, a new football show coming your way Wednesday, September 8th. It's Sports Spectrum's venture into a weekly football show that will appear and will be released on YouTube and Facebook, and of course at our website, sportsspectrum.com. And this is a show that you're going to want to tune into. A weekly football show called Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. And we're going to be talking about football from the high school, the college, the NFL level with different guests every single week. And the conversation, of course, will be what we do here at Sports Spectrum, bringing and keeping Jesus into the sports, and in this case, into the football conversation. Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant, premiering Wednesday, September 8th on sportsspectrum.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome everyone to Sports Spectrum's podcast. I am your host, Jason Romano. So glad to have you tuning into our show today. Make sure you check out sportsspectrum.com for all of our content on devotionals, podcasts, articles, stories on the intersection of sports and faith. You can check it out all for free at sportsspectrum.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter right there at the website. Click that newsletter icon at the top, put your email address in, and you are signed up to receive our weekly email coming to your inbox every Wednesday morning, updating you on all of the stories that you may have missed here at Sports Spectrum. And you can sign up right there at sportsspectrum.com. And we are so glad to have back on Sports Spectrum today Mark Richt, the two-time SEC Coach of the Year when he was with Georgia, the ACC Coach of the Year in 2017 when he was with the University of Miami. Mark's coaching career had spanned over 30 years when you talk about being an assistant coach at Florida State for over a decade and then coming to Georgia and having his first head coaching job. And he coached at Georgia for 15 seasons, 9 seasons of which he had 10 or more wins with the Bulldogs. And as I mentioned, he was SEC Coach of the Year twice during his tenure with Georgia. And then he went to Miami, coached there for 3 years, won the ACC Coach of the Year in 2017, and then retired after the 2018 season. Now Mark is working with the ACC Network as an analyst, and he's also the author of a brand new book called Make the Call: Game Day Wisdom for Life's Defining Moments. It released just a few days ago on August 31st, 2021, and it's so good to have football back. And what a perfect guest to have on than Mark Richt, who has been around the game for a very long time. Mark was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and we'll start the conversation off asking him how he's doing and how his health is coming along. I also want you to know that this interview was taped just a few days before his mentor, Coach Bobby Bowden, passed away from pancreatic cancer. Coach Bowden passed away on August 8th, 2021, and we recorded this interview with Coach Rick just a few days before. So you'll hear me ask him about Coach Bowden. You'll hear me mention that as we record this, Coach Bowden had announced that he had a terminal medical condition, but he had not yet passed. And of course, if you're paying attention to the sports world, on August 8th, Coach Bobby Bowden passed away at the age of 90 from pancreatic cancer. 91, actually, I think he was. So he lived a full life. But I just wanted you to know it might not make sense when you hear me ask him about Coach Bowden because he was still alive when we recorded this. And now, of course, he's passed on. But this was a great conversation with Coach Mark Richt. I think you'll really enjoy hearing how God is moving in his life right now, and certainly how Coach Bowden impacted his life for eternity by introducing Coach Mark Richt to Jesus. So love this conversation. Take a listen to Mark Richt joining us right now on Sports Spectrum. We are pleased to be joined here today on Sports Spectrum by Coach Mark Richt. I still call you Coach Mark, and you haven't coached right in a few years. Is that wrong of me to do that?
No, most people call me Coach.
It's kind of like even a mantra you're going to have for the rest of your life, right?
Even with the ACC network, they all call me coach.
Absolutely.
Unless I'm in the room with Lee Corso, mm-hmm. they call me coach. If he's around,
he's the coach.
He's the coach.
Well, it's so good to have you on the show, back on the show, Mark Rick. I do want to talk about your book for sure. And congratulations, you got a new book out, Make the Call, coming August 31st, 2021. But I want to start with your health. You recently announced your diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. How are you doing right now?
I'm doing great. I feel good. Mickey Mantle probably said it best when he said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. Mm. But now that I'm not coaching and doing the things that it takes to coach, I'm actually probably healthier in a lot of ways than I was when I was coaching. I'm eating better. I'm sleeping the way I should. I'm working out, stretching, drinking a lot of water. I mean, doing the things that I need to do to keep inflammation and toxins out of my body, and actually feel really good.
Is that something that you were even cognizant of when you were coaching? Did somebody say, hey, you know, you might want to eat a little better, slow down, right, take care of that health? Was anybody kind of saying that, or did you not even realize it?
Yeah, the water girl, my wife. Yeah, like every day.
Yeah.
But she was on me pretty good. But, you know, when you're recruiting and you're going to different homes and you're traveling and eating fast food and you're working late and you're eating just to stay awake, and you know, and then you put a Coca-Cola fountain drink machine in your office with the crushed ice. I mean, mm-hmm. come on, you got to have a big cup of that every 2 or 3 hours. So, I knew there'd be a lot of sacrifice when it came to being head coach in a lot of ways. And, my health was one of the things that took a beating.
I know your faith in Christ is extremely important to you. We'll talk a lot about that throughout our conversation. What did that do to your faith, I guess, when you found out that you received this diagnosis? You know, because our faith isn't really tested, in my opinion, until we face those trials and those tests.
Right.
What did that, and what has that done for you?
Right. Well, first of all, you know, normally Parkinson's diagnosis doesn't happen overnight. It usually happens over time through some testing and counting some things out and all that kind of deal. So the idea or the thought of having Parkinson's, I was probably toying with in my mind or deliberating in my mind about it for probably 2 or 3 months before the diagnosis came out. So by the time I got the diagnosis, I pretty much already knew that I had it. And because it took a little bit of time, you can also just think about how you want to respond to it as well. And, and you know, in my tweet, when I let everybody know I had it, you know, I mentioned that I do look at it as a momentary light affliction compared to the glory that I'm going to have in heaven. You know, so when you think about things in a temporal way, you could start freaking out and crying and feeling sorry for yourself. But if you realize that we're on this earth just a short time, and forever is a really long time, and you know where you're going to go, and you know you're going to get a brand new glorified body to match your spirit and soul that Jesus took care of through his blood, death, and, you know, burial, resurrection, and just taking on our sin, it's a very comforting feeling to know, where you're going to go in the end.
Do you look at this, not that you've not had this opportunity before, seeing your platform, if you will, as a way to talk about Jesus? In fact, I told you before we started recording, I'm like, you know, we're going to talk about your faith, and, you know, our audience is Christians who love Jesus in many ways and love sports. And you were like, I'm going to talk about that anyways. And so I love that about you, that it doesn't matter the platform or who you're talking to, that's going to come out. But going through something like this and having this diagnosis, do you look at this as another opportunity to kind of point people to Christ and have conversations to make disciples?
Well, I hope so. You know, and I hope, you know, some people, I mean, there's more degenerative disease and chronic illnesses and accidents and brain trauma. And there's so many things that can happen to our bodies. And not just Parkinson's, but it's adversity through our health or through a loved one's health. I mean, I've got a granddaughter who's got Crohn's disease who is, got to deal with that her whole life unless they find a cure. So a lot of people are dealing with a lot of things, not besides Parkinson's. but it's adversity, and it tests you when your health gets hit. And so, you know, hopefully things that I might do or say could bless somebody in how they handle it, because it's not so much, you know, what happens to us in life, but what are we going to do about it? How are we going to react to it? And, you know, I had a heart attack a while back too.
Yeah.
Thought I was a goner at one time. And so I'm sitting on the table thinking it's over. My whole body went numb, everything blacked out. And I'm experiencing this peace. You know, I'm experiencing excitement in my spirit that I'm going to heaven and I can't wait to see Jesus. And I told him, here I come, you know, until the nurse said, wake up, yeah. You know, and I had to wake up. But, you know, I was very excited about the fact that my faith decision in 1986 was real. And I never really doubted it. But when you're on your deathbed and you have this peace, it's an awesome feeling. And I want to make sure I say this, that if you're on your deathbed and you're afraid to die, I'm not saying you're not a believer by any stretch at all. But the peace that I experienced was, you know, beyond what most people would understand.
That's what the Bible says. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I know that faith right. guides you in all of your life, including this new venture in releasing a new book. It's called Make the Call, Game Day Wisdom for Life's Defining Moments. I love the title. Tell us about the book, Coach Rick. I know this is your first book that you've written. Why right. did you decide to write this book right now?
Well, I tried to write a book while I was coaching, and I had a short window of time to, you know, give to the storytelling or whatever you got to do to get a book started. And myself and the co-writer, we just couldn't get our schedules together. And we started to write it, but life got too busy and I had to shut it down. So after I retired, my literary agent said, hey, maybe we do this book. And then within a couple of months, you know, I was thinking about it. Within a couple of months, I had the heart attack I mentioned.
Right.
So I'm like, if I'm going to write a book, I might better hurry up. And so I went ahead and got together with the people at Lifeway and had a wonderful co-writer, Lawrence Kimbrough, that we collaborated on the effort. Basically told 2 days worth of stories, and we slowly put it together as a book.
What's the goal of the book when people read it, when they pick it up, when they buy right. it, what are you hoping that they get out of it?
Well, I'll say this. It is an evangelistic tool disguised as a football book. if you have a football fan or you know loves football, but you're not sure they love Jesus, that's the book to get them. And because there are a lot of fun stories about some of the greatest moments and not so great moments, some of the greatest decisions and not so great decisions, because you know, making the call is really a play on words. If you're a play caller, you make a call every 40 seconds in a game. If you're the head coach, you make a lot of calls during the game strategically and whatever it may be. But again, you know, making calls is just making decisions. So everybody makes decisions, obviously, and some are bigger than others. And I talk about not only the football decisions that were made, but a lot of the life decisions, family decisions, and faith decisions, and of course, the very most important faith decision is coming to know Christ. So that the reader, if they make it through the whole book, at the end, they'll get challenged with that very question. What are you going to do? Are you going to make the call for Jesus or not?
How cool would it be for you to get that email from someone or that text or that tweet
right.
saying
right.
they made that call for Jesus from right. reading this book?
Well, and that's what we said. If just one comes to know Christ, the whole thing will be worth it.
The title, Make the Call, Game Day Wisdom for Life's Defining Moments. Our guest is Mark Richt here on Sports Spectrum. All right. So we don't want to give the book away or give all the stories in the book away, I should say.
Right.
But tell me one pearl of game day wisdom that you included in this book, because that's what the subtitle is, Game Day Wisdom for Life's Defining Moments. Give us just one, like a little taste that people can hear.
Well, when I was at Florida State as a young graduate assistant coach, I was given the opportunity to coach the quarterbacks alongside of Coach Bowden. Okay. And what an awesome, I didn't know how awesome that was, you know, because I was just too young to know any better. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. But so anyway, you know, I'd come from the University of Miami, and I ran the Miami Dolphins system under Howard Schnellenberger. So I had a lot of drop back passing ideas, protection ideas as a player. And I was with the Dolphins for a couple months, one off season, and learned a little bit more. So I had kind of a unique experience that helped me, you know, gain some credibility as a coach. And so we have what we call an iffy meeting the night before the game. Coach Bowen says, we're going to go to this iffy meeting. Basically, they say, you know, if this, then what? If it's third and long, then what? Or all these different situations where we were talking about third and long. And we had put in a play that I had run and I had learned at Miami. It was called Red 200 Exxon. It didn't mean anything to anybody. But it was a play where if it's third and long and this team plays cover two, if they play cover two, you got a deep square in that should come open for the first down. But if they bring the heat and blitz everybody, which was their tendency to do one or the other, then there was a one-on-one post on the backside, and the protection would allow you to hold the ball long enough to do it. So I'm trying to explain this to Coach Bowden in detail that, hey, when it's third and long, I think this is our best call. And he's kind of nodding his head. Okay, rookie, whatever. So anyway, we get in the game against Kansas. We're losing 20-10. And in the third, I think it was in the third quarter. And we get to a third and long. And Coach Bowden is getting ready to make his call. But he hesitated just a moment, not sure what he wanted to call. And I blurted out as a young rookie coach, I was up in the booth watching coverages and stuff like that. I said, Red 200 Exxon. He's like, what, what? I said, that play last night I was talking to you about. And he's like, timeout, timeout. So I quickly reminded him of the play. And he said, does Ferguson know what to do? You know, Chip Ferguson was a true freshman quarterback. Like, oh, yeah, he knows what to do. He says, get him on the headset. So I got him on the headset. I reminded him of what to look for. The safeties level up, we're throwing the post. If the safeties go deep, we're throwing the square and touch stuff. He, you know, yes, serves me. And sure enough, they bring the house. We pick up the blitz. He lays the post perfectly across the field for a touchdown that changed the momentum of the game. And we ended up scoring again, getting a defensive stop, scoring again, won the game. So my credibility grew that day. And when I'm up in the booth, you're also – up there with defensive veteran coaches, and they're like, who's this rookie telling Coach Bowden this idea? And so it really helped me. So I think two things. One, you know, Coach Bowden was willing to let a young guy bring up new ideas. He wasn't the kind of guy that said, this is the way we're going to do it no matter what. And the other thing is sometimes, you know, you got to be brave enough or dumb enough to step out and say what you think. Even when you're young, and you want to do it in a respectful way, and you want to do it in a way that, you know, people will listen. But those are a couple little snippets of how things can go. There's a diagram of the play in the book, and it's pretty cool.
That is a great story. I love that. And if you're listening and you want to read more and hear more about it, you got to go pick up Coach Mark Richt's book, Make the Call, Game Day Wisdom for Life's Defining Moments. It's available now everywhere books are found as it releases here August 31st. Coach Bowden, as we record this, he announced just a few days ago that he has a terminal medical condition. Right. I've had the privilege and honor of meeting Coach and spending probably a couple hours with him when I was at ESPN. And my gosh, this was probably 7 or 8 years ago. Even right. Then, he was always intentional about his faith, always looking to love people. But that to allow that to lead to a conversation about Jesus. That's just what I saw even in my time at ESPN. Can you share a little bit just how much Coach Bowden has meant to you in your life? I know the story, and if you want to hash that, that's great. We had you on the podcast previously, and you shared how he's responsible for you being a follower of Christ in many ways. So,
long story short, I had a college roommate that shared the gospel to me and had changed dramatically, and I was attracted to that, but I was worried about what everybody else thought and all those things and didn't want to be a hypocrite and thought I'd be on a mission trip and never come home and all that stuff. So I put that decision off in college. And thank God I lived long enough to be with Coach Bowden and the team in 86. But long story short, you know, one of our players was shot and killed. Coach Bowden had a meeting afterwards, said he didn't know where Pablo Lopez was, and, you know, because he didn't know where he was in his faith. He didn't know where he was going to spend eternity, basically. And the punchline was that Pablo's chair was empty. He said, man, you guys are 18 to 22 years old. You think you're going to live forever like Pablo did? And now he's gone. He said, if that was you last night, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Well, all the seeds that were planted by my college friend, you know, kind of came to fruition. And the next morning, I prayed to receive Christ in Coach Bowden's office. So it's kind of, you know, sadly, Pablo died, but thankfully, he didn't die in vain.
Mm. What's he mean to you, Coach Bowden? Like, I know that's hard to kind of put all into those words.
Right.
You know, on a 2-minute answer or 3-minute answer. But when you think about his life and the legacy he's left, what's it mean to you?
Well, besides my father, he's the most influential man in my life by far. You know, he launched my coaching career, or helped launch my coaching career. And more importantly, he you know, he led me to Jesus. And so for all of eternity, I'll be super grateful for that.
I know you just shared a great Coach Bowden story. Is there another one that you could share, maybe one more for our audience?
I'll give you a fun one. 1992, he turned the play calling over to the staff. So I'm calling. He's been calling it his whole career. He finally turned it over to us. And so, you know, it's my first game. I got Charlie Ward as the quarterback. And it was the first third and long situation of the game, called the same play, but this time the safeties were deep. So Charlie was supposed to throw it to the square and come across, you know, the middle at about 16 to 18 yards. And the guy's wide open, right? So Charlie, being a little hyped up, third play of the game, I think, for him as a starter, and he overshoots it a little bit. He throws a little too high, and the safety behind it catches it. So it's an interception relatively deep in our territory. Coach Bowden said, dadgummit, I wouldn't have called that play. So that was my induction to being the play caller for Coach Bowden. But then there's another quick story where, you know, I called a reverse, which is a trick play, and it didn't go anywhere. He said, buddy, I'm the only one that calls trick plays around here. So he just was, but he was, he'd come to me after the game sometimes and say, try not to let me bother you while I'm on the headset with you. But I loved him, and I knew he meant well with everything he said.
As you progressed in your career, you became a head coach in 2001. Wow, 20 years. It's hard to really even think that it's been 20 years since you became the head coach at Georgia, Mark Richt. But what is it, or what was it, from Coach Bowden, when you look back at the impact that he had on your life, that you were able to transfer over to you when you became the head coach? Because when you become the head coach, everybody's looking to you for the answers. What was it maybe that Coach Bowden, as the leader at Florida State, as the head coach, what kind of impact maybe did that have on you as you became a head coach?
Well, most everything. A lot of coaches jump around from job to job to job to job to job, and then they get the head job. So they've been at five different places, five different philosophies, five different ways of doing things. Well, I was at one spot. You know, I spent 11 months at East Carolina, but I was in and out, left Florida State, came back to Florida State. So for 15 years, I'm with Coach Bowden. 14 years in a row, Florida State was in the top five. Won a couple of national championships, won like 9 ACC championships in a row or something crazy like that. And so, you know, there's only one way I knew how to do it, which was good for me, because I didn't have to sit there and try to decide what I like best from all the places I've been. So, you know, to answer your question, just about everything that I learned as a, you know, head coach, I learned from him. But I learned one thing that, and he told me this, he said, you can expect about a crisis a week. And so As I observed him as an offensive coordinator and position coach at Florida State for years, there were times, I'll be honest, when I'm like, why'd he do that? Why'd he make that decision? But until you get in that chair, you don't understand everything. And there's times as the head coach that you know things that you're off, that your staff doesn't even know, and decisions you might have to make to maybe protect a player or protect a family or protect the program or whatever it is, that they have no earthly idea what you're dealing with. And when it came to making those decisions, you know, my goal was to make a decision that I felt like God would be proud of. So, you know, that was my measuring stick for making decisions, because sometimes you might have a week to make the call, so to speak, and you can pray and listen to God and all that. But sometimes you got to make that call now. And so that's why you want to be prepared for those moments, prayed up and spending time in God's word. And when you do that, you tend to make a decision that God would be pleased with. And then if you make a bad one, and you're laying on that pillow and you don't have peace, you get up the next day and you own it and say, you know what, I made a mistake. I'm going to change it. If you can. Sometimes you can't change things, but sometimes you can.
Coach, we have a lot of people who listen to Sports Spectrum who are coaches, a lot of athletes, a lot of parents, certainly, who have kids who are in athletics, and they all want to be able to lead well in their sphere of influence, but live unashamed, right? To lead as a Christian, and especially as a Christian, maybe right, in a public university or a public place like you did for so many years. So my question to you is, what kind of advice or encouragement would you have, particularly for coaches, but really right, for everybody listening, on how to balance that, on how to be a follower of Christ in wherever God has placed you to impact others for the kingdom? What advice and encouragement would you give to them?
Well, my life verse is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily, heartily. Do it the best you can, and do it under the Lord rather than men. So, you know, I think sometimes a lot of people worry about, what does God want me to do? What does he want me to do? I think God's more concerned not so much about what we do, but whatever we do, how we do it. Do we do it our best? And we do it unto him rather than doing it for man. So, you know, that part tells me that, you know, if you're only accountable to your boss, when the boss is watching, you're going to act a certain way. When your boss isn't watching, you may not act that way. Mm-hmm. But if God is who you're accountable to, he sees everything you do. So every decision you make is based on how will God feel about this decision? You know, and I think that makes it really simple, because when you're in a leadership position, whether you're a parent or coach or whatever it may be, you're going to make decisions somebody's going to be mad about and some might be happy about, but you can't please everybody. So if you spend all your time trying to decide who you want to please, it's confusing. And sometimes it becomes a mess. But if you're only trying to please God with the decisions you make, then that makes it much simpler to know what to do and know how to react. And usually my gauge for me, again, was whether I felt peace about it when it was over or not.
He is Mark Richt. And first of all, Coach, congratulations on your new book, Make the Call, released August 31st as we release this podcast. It's that same week, and that also means college football is back. It must feel really good to have college football back, Coach.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to... Like we were in studio, we'll be in studio again, talking to each other instead of being in our home studio. So
yes,
it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, we're so glad. I wish you nothing but the best with the ACC Network this year, and certainly with your new book, Make the Call. Thanks, Coach. Right. Thanks for being here on Sports Spectrum. All the best to you.
I appreciate it, Jason. We'll see you.
And many thanks to Mark Richt, the former college football coach with Georgia and Miami, the ACC Network analyst. He's a lot of fun, and I spent a day with Coach Richt when I worked at ESPN when he was with Georgia, and I just shook my head in how impressed I was with him, the human, the guy, Mark Richt, not just the coach, but the man. And now he's battling Parkinson's disease, and he's doing it with a grace and humility and a trust in God that is to be commended. It really is, and I loved what he had to say here on the show today about that, about his faith. Man, the Bobby Bowden stories were just so awesome. And I'm just glad that we were able to get Mark Richt back on the show. Again, make sure you go get his new book, Make the Call, available now everywhere books are found. And hopefully we'll get Coach Rick on again, because I could talk to him for hours about all the different experiences that he's had in his journey and in his career. Thanks again to you for tuning into today's show. Again, as we wind down here, as we say goodbye, make sure you go to our website, sportsspectrum.com. Sign up for that weekly newsletter. It's free. Just put your email address in and you're good to go right there at sportsspectrum.com. And make sure with this podcast, if you'd be willing to, man, this would be amazing if you did this, share it with someone who you think needs to hear this story, needs to hear this conversation with Mark Richt. He mentioned that his book is sort of an evangelical tool disguised as a football book. Well, that's what this show is. This show is a sports show, but it's an evangelical tool to share Jesus disguised as a sports show. Well, we really don't disguise it. We're really pretty open and intentional about our faith, but use this podcast to tell someone about Jesus. Share it with someone. Subscribe and follow along with this podcast so that you don't miss any more episodes. And we would love to have you tune in next time for our next conversation right here on Sports Spectrum. Thanks for joining us and see you next time. Have a great rest of your day. And it's so good to have college football back.